Take your Bible and turn with me, if you would please, to Psalm 107. And when you find it, I want to have us read together. So if you don't have KJV, there should be a black KJV Bible underneath the seat somewhere around you. Should be a couple in each row. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 together out loud to start the service this morning as we talk about the history and the blessing of Thanksgiving. The history and the blessing of Thanksgiving in the book of Psalms, looking at Psalm 107. Again, when you find Psalm 107, stand with me. We're going to read it out loud. We're going to read it out of the KJV, so if you happen to have another translation, grab one underneath your seat or in front of you underneath that seat, and let's read verses 1 through 8 together. Is everybody ready? All right. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainteth in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Father, we ask you to add your blessing to the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, for these that are here. And Lord, we want to hear from you today. We want to meet with you. We're here to worship you and to praise you and extol the name of our God. We thank you for Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. And Lord, if there's one here that does not know with absolute assurance that heaven one day will be their eternal home, we pray today would be the day of salvation. We pray that one would come to you acknowledging that they're a sinner and they need a Savior, willing to repent of their sin, and to believe from the depths of their heart that you came in the person of Jesus Christ, died upon a cross, was buried and rose again, and would receive you into their hearts and lives as Savior and Lord, to be born into your family. Lord, please meet with us, and Holy Spirit of God, move freely from heart to heart, and God, may we hear, may we listen and respond to how you speak to us through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. Today's going to be a little bit different, because one thing that's happening in our school system is the truth of Thanksgiving is not being taught for the most part. As a matter of fact, I thought it'd be interesting for me to look up Thanksgiving on Wikipedia, which of course started out really good, but now for the last several years, is basically another liberal mecca. It's not really filled with truth. It's filled with a lot of opinion and things they don't like, they just leave out or they change it. Well, Thanksgiving is one of those, because the story of Thanksgiving that we're going to talk about this morning is a true historical fact, but they said that it is a myth. So according to Wikipedia, what I'm going to tell you this morning is a myth. But according to the truth, it is reality. It's history, okay? Thanksgiving to the child of God should be, of course, much more than a date on a calendar. It's unfortunate Thanksgiving as Christmas has become extremely commercialized and secularized. For many, Thanksgiving is little more than a day off, or in many cases in today's world, we get 4 days off. So it's like a 4-day vacation. When I was growing up in Milwaukee, my parents, of course, as you know, they went to church for maybe a year and then they stopped, but they sent us to church. And the only time that I ever remember my father praying was he said a canned prayer on Thanksgiving. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest and let these gifts of ours be blessed. That was the only prayer I ever heard from my father, ever. Thanksgiving, unfortunately, has even gotten to be less spiritual in many homes Folks will sit down to a feast beyond measure and never utter a word of thanksgiving or even acknowledge the existence of God, much less his hand upon our nation that caused us to rise to be the nation we are today. It all falls back on God. Our founders established the nation based upon the principles and upon the very word of God. And that's why our nation only works well when Christians are the ones that are in the forefront. Look at what's happening. Look at the turmoil. Look at the cities that have basically left God out. You know, because the Democrats took God out of the platform. And so many, many blue cities and states, I'm not saying everyone involved is not a Christian or believe in God, but I'm saying that the rule is that God is kind of left out. We need God separate. That's for the ones that feel it's necessary. And so therefore, since God has been left out of these cities, there's chaos, and there's hatred, and there's murder, and there's riot, and it's devastating to see. I don't think that's what the founders had in mind. Do you? The world sees Thanksgiving as a day for food and family, and I'm all for food and I'm all for family. But the roots of the day of Thanksgiving are rooted in prayer, in praise for God, in acknowledging his goodness, in acknowledging he is the God who helped to establish this nation. It's sad that I've seen, and I know you've seen, that we have become more and more a nation of complainers. Because if we're a thankful people, we're not going to complain. Why? Because we are content in our Lord. Are we not instructed in the Word of God to be content no matter what state we're in? No matter what our situation, no matter how bleak it may look, no matter how scary it might appear in the flesh, we have a God. And our God is on the throne. He is in control. Are we willing to yield to him and bow in adoration and acknowledge his lordship? So I want us to look, first of all, at a little bit of history. Are you in the mood for history? I hated history in school. How many of you hated history in school? As I've gotten older, I'm interested, especially in American history. Of course, Bible history, that goes without saying. But in 1620, a group of 102 individuals boarded the Mayflower. Bill remembers this, don't you, Bill? He was there. Boarded the Mayflower and headed for a new world. And they didn't come to the New World for mainly financial reasons. They came because they demanded and wanted beyond anything else to have religious freedom, to worship God freely. Not to have some religion mandated that they had to follow, but to follow their conscience, to follow their heart, to follow the Word of God. Well, the first winter, 1620 to 1621, was a devastating, brutal winter, and obviously they were not prepared for such a winter. So almost half of the people that came on the Mayflower that were still alive died during that first winter. By the time the first Thanksgiving rolled around, between 51 and 56 of them were gone. Over half had died. But the next year, after the Wampanoag people, Native Americans, helped them and taught them how to plant corn, maize, and gave them some pointers. They gathered together on that first Thanksgiving. This is the myth that Wikipedia calls a myth, but it's history. They came together and they celebrated a great harvest. God had blessed them. It wasn't a feast to just celebrate the abundant harvest, but it was a feast to acknowledge where that harvest came from. Now, obviously, the American Indians that did not know English, most of them did not, they would not have been involved in the worship per se, but the ones that came over on the Mayflower, the pilgrims, they, of course, celebrated and made the table and altar a praise to God. And I pray that when you have your Thanksgiving meal with family and friends on Thursday, that that table will be more than a feast table. Instead, it will be an altar of praise and worship. I've heard many men say, and I'm sure women too, have said, the reason that we have or I have what I have is because I work hard. And no doubt work is honorable and work is something is falling out of favor with many who expect everything to be handed to them without effort. But those that work hard, God understands that. And he has said, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's pretty good. That's pretty good scripture right there, don't you think? If you're not willing to work and you can work, then why should you eat at somebody else's expense? That wasn't in my plan for this morning. It just came out, okay? But some people are tempted to say and have said, well, the only reason I have what I have is because I work hard. Well, who gave you the health to be able to work? Who gave you the job? Who gave you the economy? Who caused you to be born and raised in the United States of America and not in some other nation that has no economy or very little? It's God. All the praise goes back to God. Remember the book of James, I think it's chapter 1 if I remember right, says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from God, who is a God that in which there is no variableness. He's not always changing. He is consistent. He is immutable. And he's not moved about with every shadow of turning. So we can count on him because he is always the same and he is no respecter of persons. Edward Winslow wrote, and I quote, so far, they were so far from want. In that first Thanksgiving, doesn't mean they had a whole lot of stuff, but it meant that they had what they needed because God is good. So they acknowledged even in what they had, though it was small in their eyes, it was big. Why? Because God gave it to them. Their gratitude was rooted in faith, not fortune. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Why? Well, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we are not a thankful people. Our nation is just not thankful. And one of the signs of the end is people will be unthankful. We must be. We're Christians. We've been saved by grace through faith. We've been born into the family of God. How can we not be thankful? Even though our lot in life may appear to be that great. The first Thanksgiving then was an act of worship. It was the fruit of people who suffered immensely, but yet acknowledged that in God they could do all things. Well, in the years that followed the first Thanksgiving, it wasn't a set day, it wasn't a set time. If the community leaders or some religious leader, or maybe in response to a military victory or a good harvest or maybe the end of a drought, the people would pause to give thanks to God. They would have church services. There'd be sermons preached. The people came together in humility in spiritual gatherings, giving thanks to God. So the emphasis was spiritual. These were not just generic expressions of goodwill. God was at the center of it all. We need that back. God is not to be just the center of our Sunday morning. He's to be the center of our lives. He is to be our all in all. He is Lord. Lord means master. He is in charge of every aspect of our lives. We are to submit to his authority. That's where the blessings are. And when we're thankful, rather than complainers, we receive of that grace and we have strength to go on as life sometimes gets pretty hard. But they came together in humility and acknowledged the hand of God in their lives. Then the Continental Congress proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving in what year? 1776. See how good your history is. 1777. How about that? 1777. During the Revolutionary War, they urged the people to give thanks to the supreme ruler of all human events. So even in war, they recognized the providence of Almighty God. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Blessed is the nation. Now, if you take the opposite of that, that would mean cursed is the nation whose God is not the Lord. Then later, George Washington in 1789 gave a Thanksgiving proclamation where he declared that Thursday, November the 26th, 1789, would be designated as a national day of Thanksgiving. Notice his words and how they reflect a deep reverence for God, and I quote, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits," end of quote. So Washington didn't merely suggest gratitude, he called it a national responsibility. And it certainly is a Christian responsibility for us that claim the name of Jesus Christ, that we would also be a thankful people, praising God, who he alone is worthy of our praise. Washington understood that freedom and prosperity and liberty are not from the state, but from Almighty God. They're a gift, part of the Constitution. We're endowed with certain inalienable rights, and of these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Wasn't a call to gratitude in some philosophical sense, but a real call of praise to God. Sincerely and publicly, if necessary, to say, "Yes, I believe that God is good and God provides and God cares and God loves us and God sent his son to die on that cross to pay our sin debt in full." Later during the Civil War, in the midst of the Civil War, darkest point in U.S. history, brothers killing brothers, Lincoln set the day in 1863. He declared a national day of Thanksgiving. His proclamation recognized the hand of God upon the nation, even in the midst of awful grief and despair and heartache and blood loss. He wrote that blessings had been granted by God, and I quote, he said, "with such extraordinary precision that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible," end of quote. Lincoln called the nation to set apart the last Thursday of November every year. Before it was not designated, it was set as the last Thursday of November. And he said, and I quote, "as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens," end of quote. And his words echo the scripture that I mentioned earlier, James chapter 1, verse 17, "every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning." He didn't wait for peace to give thanks. He gave thanks in the midst of the worst war in the history of our nation, but he led the nation to bow before God even before the wounds of division were healed. Well, for decades following Lincoln's declaration, Thanksgiving was celebrated annually, though the exact date varied. In 1939, President Roosevelt decided it might help, as the Depression was still dragging on, it might help to make it a week earlier, so that way if it was a week earlier, maybe then more people could shop. I don't know what they'd shop with, they didn't have money. But anyway, he thought it might help. Well, that made many states very angry. So in 1941, Congress settled the issue and said Thanksgiving will be, by law, the fourth Thursday of November And that, of course, is when we celebrate Thanksgiving as a nation. So it is a national holiday with a view of not just having a day off and gathering together and overeating, but as a day that America would acknowledge that they have what they have because of the hand of a beneficial God, or beneficent God. Do you think that describes the bulk of what happens on Thanksgiving Day here in America? Tragically, no. Psalm 100, verse number 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So the very heart of Thanksgiving should be for the child of God more than Thursday, November, whatever the day may happen to be that year where we sit and we say a prayer of thanksgiving. Really, for the Christian, isn't thanksgiving a heart attitude? Shouldn't that be a part of who we are as Christians, to be thankful? Beginning with salvation, did we deserve it? Are we worthy? Were we not born? We weren't born, as some teach, with a spark of divinity that needs to be fanned until it bursts into a flame. No, we're born totally depraved. Totally depraved doesn't mean we're as bad as we could be, but it means that we fall short always of the glory of God. The Bible says that our hearts, before we come to Christ, are deceitful and desperately wicked. We are dead in trespasses and sin, and the only way that we come back to life spiritually is through repentance and faith in Christ that is based upon the grace of God. God loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and who we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So our heart should be so filled with thanksgiving. I mean, it is a heart issue. That we are quick to acknowledge our complete dependence upon God. Beginning with salvation. And throughout our whole lives. Thanksgiving and gratitude is not reserved just for the good days, the easy days. It's reserved for all days. We can be thankful even in the midst of suffering. Why? Because God is always good. Yeah, I appreciate you don't understand. My health is really bad. I know, but God is still good. Yeah, but you don't understand. God took my child. Yeah, but God is still good, and God is on the throne, and God is a creator, and God owns all things. It's under his control. He loves us in all that he allows to happen. Remember that, child of God. Scripture calls us to give thanks at all times. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we are thankful, we are also acknowledging to God that we trust him. I mean, if we're moaning and groaning and complaining, doesn't that tell God, I don't really trust you, don't like what's happening, and I feel like I don't have any hope. When we have faith in God and we believe in him, we love him, we trust him, we'll have the peace of God that surpasses human understanding. We know that we make peace with God through the blood of the cross, Colossians 1:20. And through that blood, we can be reconciled, be brought back into a right relationship with a holy God that without Jesus is impossible. Amen. That's why we know he's the only way to heaven. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me, that's what he meant. It's exactly what he meant. But the enemy works hard to try to turn our focus away from God and to look within ourselves and try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps when we desperately need our God. When we give thanks to God, we're declaring that God is faithful even when circumstances are hard. You agree with that? God is faithful even when circumstances are hard. We're confessing that his character never changes. His mercies are new every morning. Thanksgiving lifts our eyes to God. The enemy tries to get us to look somewhere else. Turns our attention back to the one who watches over us and loves us. Philippians 4:6, one of my favorite verses about worrying. Of course, no one here probably ever worries. Maybe I'm the only one. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Be happy. But you want to start singing that song? With a little Jamaican accent. Don't worry. I can't do it. I can't do Jamaican. I can do Russian, but it doesn't fit. Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. What's the next two words? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But unfortunately, many in our nation, some even in our churches, have forgotten the giver. Remember what Moses, he gave 30 days of sermons and reminders and instructions to the Israelites before they went into the promised land. In Deuteronomy 8, remember what he said? When you go and you move into the homes you didn't build and you enjoy the fields that you didn't plant and the vineyards and all of the milk and honey that will flow to you that you didn't work for, don't forget God. Now, we are living in a land flowing with milk and honey. I know there are many struggling. I understand that. God knows that. But even the poorest in our nation are richer than most in the world. Remember that. And I always hear about people, there's nobody starving. If somebody starves in our nation, it's not because there's no one that will give them food. Deuteronomy 8, the Lord warned Israel not to forget him when they entered the land. And what did they do? They became prosperous and forgot God. We as a nation were founded upon the principles of the Word of God. Who's the one that's John Hancock? Is he the one that said that it was only good for a Christian nation? One of the founders said, if we don't remain now, understand that we were never totally officially a Christian nation, but we were founded upon biblical principles. Some call it the Judeo-Christian ethic. And somebody, one of our founders said, if we fail to be a Christian nation in that sense, we can't survive. That's who it was. Thank you. I knew there was historian. Well, you were there. So we know that many today don't understand that if we, as some on the far left, want us to become communist, I kind of think that if you like part of history we saw today and current day issues or the situation in Cuba, and look at every nation where communism has been tried has led to just a few on the top getting rich and all the rest poor. Everywhere. Millions upon millions and millions upon millions have died. Religious liberty is taken away. America will not survive. We will cease to exist if we start seeing city after city and state after state become communist. We're going to lose our nation. That's why preachers, even though folks kind of get icky when you start preaching and mentioning politics, we got to do it. It's always been done that way. Even back, the biggest revivals began through preachers being willing to shout out truth and challenge society. Amen. Too many pastors are quiet about the things that are destroying our nation. That's one of the reasons we're at where we're at. Yeah. Cowardly pastors.
You're right. Yeah.
For those who belong to Christ, thanksgiving is not a seasonal thing, it's continual, because our whole life should be a testimony of the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. Not just thankful for the things that he gives us, but thankful for the person he is. Our God is a holy God, a merciful God. He's a God that is unchanging. He is a God that is always near. He's a whisper away. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, or his indescribable gift, Jesus Christ. We have made peace with God through him if you're born again today. And through him we have hope, not only in this world, but hope beyond the grave. Paul said, if we have hope only in this world, we are all men most miserable. So let me ask you this morning, have you made peace with God through the blood of the cross? Have you come to Jesus in repentance and faith? Have you asked him to come into your life? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And when we receive Christ and we are born into his family, remember what Christ said in John 15? He said, I'll abide in you and you abide in me. Don't get any closer than that. I abide in you, you abide in me. And when we abide in Christ, you know what that brings? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving is a time when we should be filled with gratitude. The fruit of abiding in Jesus Christ is a heart welled up with thanksgiving, seeing the goodness of God. It's a sacred reminder that our lives, our breath, our blessings, our nation, all rest in the hands of a faithful God. Pilgrims bowed their heads in humble worship. Presidents proclaimed days of national prayer. The message is consistent. Give thanks to Almighty God. So when we gather on Thursday, let's keep in the forefront of our minds why we should be thankful, who we are to be thankful to remember God in our Thanksgiving celebration, acknowledging without him there would be nothing to thank anyone for. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. As God, again, is a God of grace. Let's remember that come Thursday. Let's stand together for prayer. If you're here this morning, you can't say with assurance, when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to give a verse or two of invitation. Please come and let me know that you need Christ. We'll have someone take the word of God privately and show you how you can be saved and know it today. Don't leave without Christ. We don't know. There's a day appointed. We don't know when the day is. There's a day of appointment, the day of death. It's appointed on the man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. Don't leave without Christ. Please don't leave without Christ. You're playing Russian roulette with eternity. I mean, once you make the decision, if you die without Christ, it's over. There's no coming back. There's no changing your mind. You're forever in the flames of a literal hell. Not because God hates you, but God has given a way of escape. You rejected his son, the greatest gift of love the world has ever known. And so you must spend eternity separated from a loving, holy God. What an awful thing to think about. Our Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're on the throne today. We thank you that you died upon that cross. You shed your blood. You gave your all for us. So, Lord, I pray that we would be thankful people, not complainers, but people that demonstrate how much we appreciate all you've done and all you do for us each and every day, and how we're not worthy of anything good. Lord, if there's one here unsaved today, please give them the courage to step out and come and take me by the hand and say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved, but I want to know. May your will be done in every heart and every life. In Jesus' name, amen.